Hello and welcome to Editor's Picks, a special daily podcast brought to you by Nalin Mehta, the managing editor of Money Control. This is a specially curated podcast that brings together the best of the day's exclusives from the stock markets, from the corporate world, and the wider political economy from Money Control's 360-degree coverage. This voice has been generated using AI technology based on a voice clone of Money Control's managing editor, Nalin Mehta. 2 weeks after capital markets regulator SEBI fined Jane Street for alleged market manipulation, the global trading firm has deposited the penalty amount of 4,843.5 crore in an escrow account, setting the stage for its return to Indian capital markets. Rajesh Kumar broke this story earlier this morning. SEBI confirmed it later in the day. SEBI's investigation into Jane Street's trades is expected to take an additional 6 to 7 months. Meanwhile, rival XTX Markets, a global algo giant, exited India's index options market after its risk-reward profile collapsed following Jane Street's controversial trading practices. In the wider economy, retail inflation eased to a 77-month low of 2.1% in June, down from 2.8% in the previous month, reports Ishan Gera in our data story of the day. The dip in prices is driven largely by falling food prices, with retail food inflation sliding to a 74-month low, according to new government data released Monday. Food prices, including for vegetables, are now 19% cheaper from a year earlier, and pulses cheaper by 12%. The subdued inflation environment has given the RBI more room to ease rates further. JP Morgan's global head of M&A, Anu Anger, spoke exclusively to Ashwin Mohan Monday, highlighting that India is a star performer for private equity investments, offering high returns due to a predictable policy regime and growth potential. Anger said she expects India to benefit from its domestic consumption, which provides a degree of insulation from global tariff volatility and geopolitical risks. Her top sectoral picks for M&A activity in India include technology, healthcare, infrastructure, and financial services. With India's largest software exporter, Tata Consultancy Services, reporting a lackluster performance in the first quarter, TCS CEO K. Krithivasan spoke to Chandra R., Srikanth and Debangana Ghosh, expressing optimism about the future, attributing the company's 3.3% sequential revenue decline to macroeconomic challenges and project delays, particularly in Europe. Krithivasan said he expects FY26 international business revenue to be better than FY25. Shifting gears to the electric two-wheelers market, Ola Electric is looking to raise 1,000 to 1,200 crore in private credit to refinance an existing bank loan, reports Tushar Goenka. This will be the company's second fundraising in under 12 months since going public in August 2024, with most of the fresh funds being used for loan refinancing. However, a spokesperson for Ola Electric denied the report. The government is pressing ahead on its asset sale agenda. It plans to sell around 4% of NLC India, a Navratna under the coal ministry, via an offer for sale route this fiscal, reports Meghna Mittal. This will be the second tranche of disinvestment, following a sale in March 2024 that saw strong demand from investors. With the revision of electoral rolls in Bihar being watched carefully by the Supreme Court, former election commissioner Ashok Lavasa spoke to Shweta Punj on concerns about the EC's timeline for revision, saying it requires a review to ensure that eligible voters are not left out. Lavasa emphasized the need for an inclusive approach to protect voting rights. In Bengaluru, tax notices are spooking traders. The Karnataka Commercial Tax Department's decision to issue demand notices to traders over GST evasion has made small traders and shopkeepers wary of accepting digital payments, report Kristen Matthew Phillip and Anand Jay. Some traders have even removed UPI QR code stickers from their establishments in Bengaluru. Notices have been issued to establishments having an annual turnover of more than 40 lakh rupees via UPI payments, although Commissioner Vipul Bansal assured that there is no need to panic. On a fizzy note, Lahori Zira, a traditional soda drink brand, is adopting an asset-light strategy inspired by Bisleri's co-bottling model to reach more retail shelves and consumers as it aims to touch 800 crore rupees in sales by FY26, reports Aishwarya Nair. The brand, which reported revenues of 535 crore rupees in fiscal year 2025, plans to sign agreements with 20 co-bottlers over the next 2 years to have a local presence in almost every state and is betting on its distribution network to take on giants such as Coke and Pepsi. And finally, Swiggy's Rohit Kapoor reflects on how Gen Z is shaping the way India eats. Gen Z, he writes, has transformed dining into an expressive experience, where food is a vehicle for self-expression, social connection, and ethical alignment. For Gen Z, eating out is a social ritual that is less about sustenance and more about the stories, the setting, and the company. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any feedback or topics you'd like to discuss, feel free to reach out to us. Until then, stay informed and stay ahead with Money Control.